Okay, it's even harder. Something.
Something.
Nope. You pronounce it with something. The first one is hard. So you really, it's like logopedia. It's like you have to really move your tongue. Your mouth has to be working. The teeth are closed. Your tongue is up against your gums. Tongue is vibrating and the teeth are closed. So it's some, and then the tongue is between the teeth. Something.
Something.
Welcome to Language and Culture with Dr. J, and welcome back, Leah.
Hello.
This is month two of our experiment, and I have a lot of things planned for this episode, so let's get right to it. Before we dive into our lesson today, I'd like to ask Leah to tell us about the assignments she had to complete this past month and to let us all know how it all went. In fact, I asked Leah to write a few lines about this, and I'd like to ask her now to read us what she wrote.
Yes, my assignment was to write something about my whole assignments for this month. So I start with my text. During my English lessons this month, I read a lot of short stories from my novel Me Talk Pretty One Day. I feel more and more comfortable to read loud and hear my voice when I speak English. I like this part of my lesson because I feel more confident to pronounce words correctly. Another part of my English lessons is to work in my grammar book. This part is more difficult for me. I forgot nearly all of the English grammar rules I learned during my English class at school many years ago. So I have to learn all the rules again, and that's very annoying. That was my text.
That's awesome. That was very good. And I don't think there were any mistakes. I listened to the reading after the podcast, after we record. So I always go back to the previous episode and then I write down what I want to correct for the following episode. So I look again very attentively and see if there's anything I'd like to correct, but I think it was pretty darn good. Good job.
Thank you.
Okay, so if anybody's following along, I put up on social media the tasks that Leah has to do as well. So you can also follow along and see what she's doing and you can try it yourself. But now I'd like to go on to our lesson. I have divided it into three parts, a part on vocabulary, a part on grammar, and a part on pronunciation. And again, I base these lessons on the mistakes that Leah, that you've made in the past month, whether in your assignments, right? Or on the last podcast episode. Okay. So let's go to vocabulary. First thing, there is such a thing called read aloud, and it's one word in English, aloud, Aloud, to read aloud. And that's sort of laut vorlesen, right? So just read the words out loud. And as you just now heard, the other way to say it is to read out loud, and then out and then loud. So both are acceptable. Maybe aloud is a little bit more correct, and maybe to read out loud emphasizes a little bit more to read out loud, right? Maybe a little more, but both are acceptable. Okay. The next little vocabulary part. These are just little things to mention. And the next one is I really wanted to do synonyms for interesting. So in the last episodes, you said interesting a lot of times, and I think it's just a lack of vocabulary, right? It's like, you know, the word interesting, and just to kind of ultimately, you want to make sure that you use a lot, you have a rich vocabulary and that you use a wide range of words to describe things, right? So let's look at some synonyms for interesting. And you can go ahead and write these down, the listeners, but Leah especially. And then you can afterwards pick the ones you like, right? You don't have to know all of them. Pick the ones you like. And pick the ones that speak to you, that sound good to you, that you feel you can, right? That you can kind of pronounce well. And then for sure, write a sentence with it, with the ones you pick, so that you can remember it. Write a sentence where you could imagine using this word.
Okay.
Interesting. You could say fascinating. Fascinating, FASCINATING. Fascinating. So in other words, like, whoa, it's surprising, it's wonderful, it's admirable, right? Fascinating. Oh, how fascinating. You could say intriguing. 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 So this is something that makes you think and question things. Oh, how intriguing, right? So how, oh, it's interesting, but in a sense that, oh, that makes me really question it. Okay.
Okay.
Or amusing or entertaining. I don't think I need to spell these to you. I think these are easy to spell. Amusing or entertaining. These are things that make us laugh. So again, interesting, but in this sense, amusing or entertaining. Or thought-provoking. The book is very thought-provoking. Or I saw this movie and it was really thought-provoking. It made me think, right? Or worthwhile, worthwhile. It's written together, worthwhile, one word. So it wasn't a waste of time. Oh, the experience was worthwhile. The trip we took was worthwhile, right? So it was interesting in this sense that the time we spent on it was worth it. Then two more, exciting, or for example, captivating. Captivating, it really caught my attention. So just real quick, instead of just saying interesting, you could say fascinating, as in surprising, wonderful, admirable, intriguing, amusing, entertaining, thought-provoking, worthwhile, exciting, or captivating, et cetera, et cetera. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Then moving on to the next one. Like I said, this is a lesson. This is just a lesson. So I'm just kind of pointing out some things. So you said a couple times, stand up when I stand up. So to stand up is to physically rise to your feet, right? To stand up is to stand up in that sense, right? To take a different position, right? Like from a chair, I stood up, or you know, there's a difference to wake up. To wake up is what you do in the morning. To wake up, to reach a state of consciousness, to no longer be asleep, to wake up. But that's not stand up. Stand up is physically, to wake up is right, you in the morning. Then there's another one that's called get up, to get up. And to get up can mean both. I mean, most of the time you're going to say, I get up at 8 in the morning. So you're going to use it most of the time for the sense of wake up. But get up can also be like someone sitting in my chair and I say, hey, get up. That's my chair. So it can also be in the sense of, you know, standing up, but most of the time it's for wake up.
Okay.
Did it make sense?
Yes, it makes sense.
Okay. And again, it's really, really, really a good habit to acquire to write a sentence. So my boss stood up and just left the meeting. Or it's important to stand up for your rights. But you know, I don't like waking up in the morning, but I still wake up at 6 in the morning every day. And it's important to have it be your sentence that you make with these words that then translates into your life, right? And it shouldn't be a definition of it. It should be like an example sentence where you use it how you could imagine using it. Okay, moving on. A few times you said, what do you want? This was in the role playing. What do you want? And this is one of my big pet peeves. It's best not to say what you want. In German, you're rarely going to say, was willst du? So it'd be, was möchtest du? Which is, what would you like? What would you prefer? I have this with my students a lot. I want to da 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 da. No, no, no. I would like to.
Okay.
Okay. So you said which time or at which time da 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 da. So here you just want to simply use when. When are you landing in London? When does your plane land in London? When will you land in London? Instead of at which time or which time, just when. Okay, and last one for the vocabulary. When I asked you to do things, you said, okay, I will try it. So it's correct. It's just a little bit, we also want to make you sound native, right? So I will try it. It sounds a little bit awkward. So instead you could say, I'll try. And here I wouldn't mind if you repeated it once. Like just say, okay, I'll try.
Okay.
Will you say it once? Okay, I'll try.
Okay, I'll try.
Super. Okay, I'll do my best.
I do my best.
But it's I'll, no? So it's I will. So okay, I'll do my best.
I'll do my best.
Very good. Okay, let me try.
Okay, let me try.
Try to breathe out, relax. Say it. Okay, let me try.
Okay, let me try.
Super, super. Let me give it a go.
Okay, let me give it a go.
Let it roll off again. Don't worry. If you pronounce it wrong, you pronounce it wrong. Nothing is going to happen. Let me give it a go.
Let me give it a go.
Good. And the give it a go, give it a go. Really kind of just like a ball. You're bouncing it. Let me give it a go.
Let me give it a go.
Yupa! I know it felt awkward to you. You didn't feel comfortable.
Yes.
Try it one more time. Let me give it a go.
Let me give it a go.
Super. It's perfect. It really is good. See, I think you're also afraid. Oh my God, does it sound okay? Let me give it a go. Just let it roll out. Okay. I will try and give it a go.
I would try and give it a go.
Okay. That's enough. Good. Wonderful. Let's move on to the grammar lesson. In German, we speak about Steigerung der Adjektive. In English, this is referred to as using the three forms of adjectives. The first form is the positive form. Let's look at good as an example. The exercise is good. The weather is good. Then comes the comparative form, because you're now comparing the quality of two or more nouns. Here we use better. The first exercise is better than the second one. The weather is better in Hamburg than in Kiel, for example. Finally, we have the superlative form. In this case, we are saying that a particular noun stands above the rest as it pertains to the specific quality. So here we use best or the best. The third exercise is the best. The weather is best in Munich. So, right, so we have good, better, best is an example of an irregular adjective. Other irregular adjectives include, for example, bad, worse, the worst, or many, more, the most, little, less, the least, etc. But most adjectives are regular. And here we have to differentiate between short adjectives, so one syllable adjectives, as in cute. There, we're just going to say cute, cuter, cutest, cute, cuter, cutest, right? Cute, one syllable. Mary is cute. Susan is cuter than Mary. Jenny is the cutest. Or big, one syllable, big, bigger, biggest. You have a big house. He has a bigger house. She has the biggest house. And then there are long adjectives with two or more syllables. And here we cannot simply add er for the comparative form, but we need to use more plus the adjectives. And for the superlative form, we cannot add ust, est, but need to use the most plus the adjectives. So in other words, with long adjectives, as for example, exciting, three syllables, that was an exciting vacation. Last year, we went on an even more exciting vacation. You're not going to say exciting-er, right? So it's a more exciting vacation. And next year, we will go on the most exciting vacation ever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you want to review that once real quick in your own words? What's how you understood this Steigerung der Adjektive in English?
In my words?
Yeah, just summarize what we just said to make sure that it also came across, you know, for you.
Help me. What was the English word for Steigerung once again?
So there's the positive form, the comparative form, and the superlative form. But you don't have to know those words. Just tell me however you understood it.
Okay. The ones are irregular. For example, some irregular words are good, better, best, or the best. Or another one is bad, worst, the worst. And there are some regular forms, for example, like a big, bigger, the biggest. And there are some forms that are not irregular or regular. For example, the word exciting, or one sentence for this form is exciting vacation, even more exciting, or the most exciting vacations.
Mm-hmm. Great. Just the only thing is that sort of it's not a matter of regular or irregular in this case. It's that it's a regular adjective, but it's just long. Right? It's more than two syllables. So that's why we have to say the most, right? So if it's a one syllable regular adjective, then we're gonna be able to do this Steigerung with cute, cuter, cutest.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a longer adjective, then two syllables, then we cannot, then we have to say more exciting, most exciting.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I have one more example for you. Difficult, regular adjective, but it's long. So more difficult, the most difficult. Joseph is working on a difficult task. Micah is working on an even more difficult task. And Elizabeth is working on the most difficult task.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And again, I keep saying this, you have to try it yourself. You have to write a few sentences with different adjectives. Write sentences and portray situations that are pertinent to your life and to your needs. And this is for you, Leah, but also for anybody who's trying to study along.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Let's do another one. This is for comparing things. This is the rule you're going to use. Same as, different than. So X is as funny as Y, or X is more funny than Y. So for example, this lesson is as long as last month's lesson. This lesson is longer than last month's lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Last month, you needed 2 hours to complete a task. This month, do you need the same time? This month, you need as long? Or do you need longer than last month?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. And with that, I guess I would love to move away from grammar. I don't enjoy doing grammar. I really don't. I think grammar is important, but I have a really complicated relationship with grammar. When you're trying to learn a foreign language, you should focus on grammar really just peu à peu. I really think that if you try to say everything perfectly, you get all stiff, and it hinders you from communicating and from getting out there and saying what you need and what you want to say. So yeah, grammar absolutely, but in small doses. And the other thing is, ultimately, you do have to work with a book. Because everyone needs a different amount of time to grasp a grammar point. So even now in this lesson, right, live, our little live explanation, or in a classroom, right, you always need to go back to a good grammar book. It shouldn't be too technical. It should just explain what you need to know. And you really do need to take the time to review the rules and to do as many exercises as you need to have the rules sit right with you. So for example, in the book that I recommended to you, How English Works, you can go back, you will find a section on as and then, or comparing things. And then you can sort mm-hmm. of see, you know, you do the exercises until it sits well with you. And that's something that's really important. When you're tackling a grammar point, then really tackle it, you know, work on it until you have it right. So,
yes,
you know,
exactly.
so then it's like done. That's okay. I got that, you know, I got that, moving on. Otherwise, if you just kind of half get it, you know, then it keeps coming up. I mean, there are some things that are way too complicated to get the first round, right? Or you only get a certain level of it, right? Or you get certain aspects of it, and that's okay too. But if at all possible, try to tackle a grammar point fully.
Okay.
Okay, so with that, let's move on to something that I really enjoy working on, and that's pronunciation. Because your pronunciation is really, I see pronunciation as your business card, your profile picture, your signature, right? Because it's the way you sound to the world. It really speaks volumes about who you are. And it's really important to feel confident in your pronunciation. And the perfect example for how this works is the exchange student who just spent a year abroad, doesn't necessarily have the grammar perfect, but has developed an ear for the language and can reproduce the intonation, the sounds, right? The student knows some idiomatic expressions, feels confident and is eager to speak to everybody and ready to respond at the drop of a hat. And this student will do great and will continue to improve. So this it's right. And it's just the pronunciation. They feel at ease with it. So let's work on your pronunciation as well, Lisa.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to just shoot off a list of corrections from the previous 4 weeks. And it would be great if you could just repeat these after me to make sure that it sits well with you. And if you'd like to take notes, then just make me stop. If I'm going too fast, just then slow me down, and then we'll go. Okay. Interesting. With the emphasis, with the accent being on the first syllable. Interesting.
Interesting.
Very good. Okay, here's the weird S's and the S, it's a strong S. Sometimes.
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 Okay, it's even harder. Something. Something.
Something.
Nope. It was, you pronounce it with something. The first one is hard. So you really, it's you know, it's like logopedia. It's like... You have to really move your tongue. You have to move. You have to, your mouth has to be working. It's, the teeth are closed. Your tongue is up against your gums. It's kind of the tongue is vibrating and the teeth are closed. So it's some, then the tongue is between the teeth. Something.
Something.
It's perfect. But you were nervous. One more time. You take a deep breath and one more time.
Something.
Almost.
Something.
Very good. But it's, you know, try to say these a couple times at home. Just
okay.
Until it's, you know, something. And at first, for example, in speech therapy, you exaggerate it, right? So just a few times, just for fun, so to speak, really go something. You know, it's like exaggerated. Not, you don't have to do it right now, but you know, in alle Ruhe, in the privacy of your own bathroom.
Okay,
another one. Saying the plural, don't forget to add the S at the end. Don't swallow the S. So sentence, sentences. In this case, it's more of a Z sound. Exercise, exercises. That's, you have a little bit when you speak, you kind of sometimes drop the plural because it's easier, right? And you don't. And because I think also it's this lack of confidence, you want to stop talking as fast as possible.
So, maybe.
you don't want to make any loud s and noises, you know?
Okay.
And I won't make you do this, but that could be a funny exercise for you to, you know, in your apartment, just kind of go every once in a while, just to kind of get it out of the way, you know?
Okay.
So your neighbors are going, what the hell is she doing?
She got a snake, no.
Yeah, yes. Okay. Okay, I am now going to play for the audience the homework assignment that you recorded for me. So you wrote a summary of one of the short stories by David Sedaris from his book, Me Talk Pretty One Day. And I corrected your summary and then you read it and recorded it for me. And it's really, really, really good. I will play it now and then give you a few corrections.
Today's special. It's Huge Birthday. Both David and Huge wants to celebrate this day in an upper-class restaurant in New York. Huge wears a very nice suit and a sweater. David doesn't feel very comfortable at this place because he's not wearing the right clothes. Because of this, the waiter has lent him one of the restaurant's jackets to wear. Before dinner, the waiter brings them an Amuse Bouche, which because of his size and color reminds David of a Band-Aid. Generally, David doesn't like such fancy restaurants in New York. For one, he can't understand why, on the one hand, you are required to wear a suit jacket, and on the other hand, the restaurant is allowed to serve raw fish and chocolate sauce. He can't understand why all of these small fancy restaurants don't serve normal traditional American dishes. They ruin even a normal club sandwich because they change the ingredients and put, for example, a baby artichoke heart in it. David and Huge live in the wrong part of the town, in Soho, where such fancy restaurants flourish. On this evening, on Huge's birthday, David gets something like a steak, but it looks more like a fennel pie. Huge gets a very small portion of a saffron linguine topped with a miniature turban of a small shrimp. David and Huge are both very disappointed with their dishes because they taste bad and the portions are too small. The waiter comes with a dessert card, but neither Huge or David want a fancy dessert. They pay the bill and decide to go to the movie. On their way to the cinema, they crossed a hot dog stand. David orders a normal hot dog with only mustard. And he is finally happy with his simple and timeless hot dog.
So the first little correction is Hugh. The name is Hugh. Will you say it once?
Hugh?
Hugh. It's just Hugh. It really is just Hugh. The second one, comfortable. This is, we had this last week and it's just, just comfortable.
Comfortable.
Super.
I cannot speak this word.
Yeah, you don't like this word because no. At some point you memorized it or you learned it as comfortable. And it's,
yeah.
You don't want to swallow, it feels wrong because it's comfortable, you know, and it's written as comfortable, you know,
yeah.
but it's comfortable. Comfortable. Yeah. Okay. Clothes. This also, it's just, it's written clothes, but it's clothes.
Clothes.
Don't try to say the TH this time. It's really like close.
Close.
Close. The waiter brings them.
The waiter brings them.
Mm-hmm. The waiter.
The waiter.
Uh-huh. Brings them.
Brings them.
Yeah. See, and it's like always, it's always a difficult task to go from brings, and you know, it's this g, and then to go to a soft them, the waiter, and it's also this weird der, waiter, you know, it starts with a soft woo, way, and then it goes into this waiter, waiter brings them.
The waiter brings them.
Almost waiter. You really, really like exaggerate opening your mouth way and on the A, open your lips like, you know, really wide. Waiter.
The waiter
brings them.
The waiter brings them.
Mm-hmm. And you also don't like this. Well, at some point, we're going to have to talk about this, whether you want to do American or British. I don't know if I can, because you know it's wait, huh? Wait, that would be the British. And I think here, just from school and everything, you're kind of trained to say that, and it's and in American, we kind of make a d almost out of it. We almost say waiter, you know? So one more time. The waiter brings them.
The waiter brings them.
That was perfect. Okay, this is just a French word, but I thought I would still correct it. It's amuse-bouche.
Yeah. I don't know how to pronounce this word. So
It's
once again, please.
amuse or s'amuser is to have fun. So it amuses
Yeah.
your mouth. Amuse-bouche.
Amuse-bouche.
There we go. Now we're even doing French. Very good. Disappointed.
Disappointed.
Careful, because it's not a z, it's a s. Disappointed. Disappointed.
Disappointed.
And now don't pronounce, don't exaggerate it as much. Disappointed.
Disappointed.
Perfect. And dessert. Dessert.
Dessert.
It's not dessert. It's dessert.
Dessert.
Very good. Okay. And finally, you also wrote six sentences on being grateful and recorded these as well. And I will play these right now and give you a few corrections right after.
Sentence of gratitude. I'm grateful to have my family and friends. I appreciate my job and my colleagues. I'm grateful to be healthy. I'm happy to have time for sports. The opportunity to work on one of my biggest fears, my English skills, fills me with a sense of satisfaction. It makes me happy to live near the forest and see it from my windows. I'm grateful to have quality time with my mom, and I love to be part of our project and work with you on improving my English.
So there is nothing wrong in how you pronounced everything. You are not training to be an actress with a perfect English accent or a British accent. So you just want to be clear and pleasant, and you want to feel good when you speak. And you pronounced everything correctly. What's missing a little bit is a flow, an ease when you speak. So let's try and say these sentences together and try to relax a little bit more and see if they can come out a little cooler or a little bit more native. So the first sentence was, I'm grateful to have my family and friends. So would you just repeat it and really kind of just be more chillin'? You know what I mean? I mean, if you want, you can even kind of get up and move to it a little bit. Or if you're sitting, just kind of, I can't see you, the audience can't see you, the listeners can't see you. So just kind of, I don't know, like move your shoulders or just kind of just let it be looser.
Okay, I try it.
I'm grateful to have my family and friends.
I'm grateful to have my family and friends.
I appreciate my job and my colleagues.
I appreciate my jobs and my colleagues.
One more time.
I appreciate my job and my colleagues.
Good. Oh, I'm grateful to be healthy.
I'm grateful to be healthy.
One more time. Shake it off. You know, I'm grateful to be healthy.
I'm grateful to be healthy.
Very nice. Very nice. I'm happy to have time for sports.
I'm happy to have time for sports.
And don't pause. You know, you go, I'm, and it, of course, it's normal. I'm happy to have time for sports. Try to, I'm happy to have time for sports. You know, like actors actually mark their text with these, I could show you, it's these little lines, right? So like where the group of words go and where at the end of which word it goes highest and when it trails off again. So it'd be, I'm happy to have time for sports. Try it.
I'm happy to have time for sports.
Almost, very good. Okay. the opportunity to work on one of my biggest fears, my English skills, fills me with a sense of satisfaction.
The opportunity to work on one of my biggest fears, my English skills, fills me with a sense of satisfaction.
Very nice. I'm grateful to have quality time with my mom or mum in the UK.
I'm grateful to have quality time with my mom.
It makes me happy to live near the forest and to see it from my windows.
It makes me happy to live near the forest and see it from my windows.
I love to be part of our project and to work with you on improving my English.
I love to be part of our project and to work with you on improving my English.
Awesome. Okay, Leah, how do you feel?
It was much, but it was okay. It was okay to hear it from you once again, and now I can, yes, make my own sentence and have to learn these for myself.
Okay, so anything else that you'd like to add?
No, I don't think at the moment, no.
It's always at the end of the lesson, you're like, oh, don't ask that stupid question. No, I don't have anything to add. I'm glad it's over.
No question, thank you.
Okay, so that wraps up another episode. Here's to another month of hard work for Leah and for anyone out there who's trying to work alongside of us. Thank you, Leah.
Thank you.
And thank you all for listening.